Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Well, the Reds were off on Monday, and I talked with our good friend Clay Snowden of Just Baseball. He'll help me preview the Reds series starting Tuesday night against the Diamondbacks. We also talked a little bit more about the Reds in general and some Reds minor league action as well. That coming up in just a minute, but first want to tell you about our proud sponsor, and that is, of course, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, let's check out some scores around the NL Central. And it was a pretty good night for the Reds on their off day. The Brewers, they lost 3-2 to the Royals. Brewers only got three hits. They've now lost three in a row. The Cubs, they lost 6-3 to the Padres. Cubs bullpen, shame to see. They spoiled a pretty good start from Justin Steele and his return off the IL. The Pirates, they did win. They beat the Angels 4-1. Mitch Keller threw a complete game. So your NL Central standings on Tuesday morning, still a tie atop the NL Central. Brewers at 20-14, Cubs at 21-15. Reds are now tied with the Pirates. Reds 16-18, Pirates 17-19. Both teams four games back, and the Cardinals still rounding out the division at 15-20. All right, the only minor league affiliate, sort of affiliate of the Reds that was in action on Monday, as most minor league teams are off, was the Arizona Complex League Reds, and they won 7-3 over the Brewers. Six different Reds pitchers combined to allow just one hit in nine innings in this game. But most of the players that we're watching down at the Complex are on the offensive side of the ball, and there were some really good performances on Monday. Jacob Herdebees, he's down there rehabbing. Good day for him, 2-for-5 with a triple. Drove in three runs. Sammy Stafura, the 19-year-old 2023 second-round pick out of New York, he had an incredible day. He was 4-for-4 with a walk, so he was on base all five times. He went up to the plate. He had a double and a triple, also stole a base. Now, he did have two errors, one throwing, one fielding, but nonetheless, a very strong showing from Sammy Stafura. And then Shang-In Lin was on base five times, four of those via walks, so 1-for-1, four walks, and he stole two bases. So Shang-In Lin off to a good start for the Reds down at the Complex League. All right, well, there was some Reds news on Monday. The Reds optioned Sam Moll down to AAA Louisville. Reds actually optioned him after the game on Sunday, assuming this is a move because the Reds are activating Frankie Montas for his start on Tuesday. Talked about the decision to send Sam Moll down to AAA, and a lot more with Clay Snowden. All right, joined now by Clay Snowden of Just Baseball. Happy to have Clay on the program. Clay, it's been a little while since I've talked with you. How you doing, my man?
Yeah, it has been a while. You've asked me a couple times, and I've been in the middle of moving houses, which is why my background looks different now. But I'm settled in, broke out the mic, so we are ready to go now.
All right. Well, for the podcast listeners, Clay's got a real sick-looking studio. This looks like a working man, a guy that just is a grinder in the studio. So happy to talk with Clay today. Before we get into some maybe more fun topics, let's start off with the 16-18 Reds, losers of five in a row. The vibes are on fumes maybe around some of Reds country. Clay, overall, where do you just kind of think things stand with the Reds?
It's not a great feeling, and I think that the pressure is intensified when you realize that there's not, you know, the Ellie in the minor leagues who can come up, CES, you know, Matt McClain coming up that can help save this season. It's more of a you've got what you got. You do have players coming back from injury, but for the most part, there's not some savior lying in the weeds with this particular group. So that means there's just more pressure on players like CES, India, even like Martinis of the world, just to step up, even if he's only on this team for a short amount of time. Like, that doesn't matter. Everybody has to step up immediately. It's not full panic mode or anything like that, but when you don't have somebody else behind you that's ready to come in from the minors, that can be a little bit scary just in terms of org depth.
We had a roster move on Monday. Sam Moll, kind of surprisingly, optioned to Louisville. The reason it's maybe surprising to a lot of people is he's got an ERA of 0.00. But Clay, I think there's probably a little bit more to the story than just, you know, the fact that he hasn't allowed an earned run, was incredible for the Reds last season. What did you think about the move? And this is obviously a move because Frankie Montas is going to be activated on Tuesday.
Yeah, and there's a reason that I didn't put my opinion out on it, but now I'm asked for it, so I'll happily give it. I hated it personally, just because I think he's had like 23, 24 scoreless innings in a row, something like that. I understand why they did it. Like, I get it. At the same time, it's just you. I don't know, man. Like, I'm gonna catch something for this, but like I'd rather just DFA Buck Farmer or something. Like, I would rather go the different route, even though I know Buck Farmer's been fine enough. It's just hard to send down Sam Moll when he's pitched as well as he has. I don't know, man. They're just in a spot. They're just in a tough spot. They went with the guy that has options. I don't know if I would have done that, though. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's clearly, obviously, a long season move. Obviously, last September, the Reds' bullpen was really bad because it seemed pretty obvious they were gassed. So you're trying to protect it. Also, would encourage people to consider how Buck Farmer's used. Buck Farmer's not typically used in a lot of high leverage roles. He often gives the Reds two innings at a time. I don't see Sam Moll as that type of pitcher that's capable of that. Moll did have an ERA over 7 in AAA. During his two rehab stints, I believe he started one, stopped, and came back. His velocity was down. I was very surprised he pitched as well as he did when he came up. I did not expect much. Honestly, when he got activated, I think a lot of us were surprised. Like, oh, they're activating him because it didn't seem like he was 100%, but he was effective. So, yeah, look, I get it. I don't know. The Reds clearly love Buck Farmer, and I think a lot of the reason the Reds love Buck Farmer and David Bell specifically is Buck Farmer is a guy that I assume goes to the ballpark every day. He never complains that his arm's barking, where I think probably a lot of other relievers do. David Bell feels like, I don't have to worry about Buck. I can give him the ball. He's always available. And there is more value to that than I think us, you know, fans at home put into your last reliever, because it's a really, really long season, and you don't want to put, you know, some of your best guys in spots where they have to eat innings. So that's why I'm not necessarily opposed to it. But Sam Moll might be back in a week. Like, this might be like a very, very short move. The Reds have somehow, it's wild, Clay, as many injuries as the Reds have had, somehow the bullpen's like has been protected from it. It's where the Reds have had so many position player injuries, but knock on wood, their pitching has actually been very healthy.
TJ Anton was really the only one, right?
I mean, Brandon Williamson, I mean, before the season.
Yeah, very few. I mean, very few.
Yeah, so we'll see Moll again. I get why, you would just rather, DFA Buck Farmer.
It's more of a frustration of like, okay, like you said, Buck Farmer gets praise because he's willing to do his job. Like, Sam Moll does his job extremely well and does the same thing. I don't know. Like, I'm not that upset about it. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's a early May move with a reliever who I know will probably see 40 innings additional this season. So, like, I don't care that much. It just is very strange.
Yeah. And just to, I guess, maybe walk people at home, you know, through the move and just to maybe help you understand exactly what goes into a move like this. So you have to drop a reliever. You can't have more than 13 pitchers on your staff. So with Montas coming back, they can't send down Bubba Thompson. That doesn't work. It has to be a pitcher. So The Reds basically either had to straight up cut, because they have a ton of guys that are out of options. They'd have to cut one of Emilio Pagan, Brent Suter, Lucas Sims, Nick Martinez, Justin Wilson, or Buck Farmer, or they could have optioned to AAA Sam Moll, Alexis Diaz, and Fernando Cruz. So unfortunately, I think for Moll, at least in the Reds' eyes, he's just the odd man out because he has options kind of similar to Stuart Fairchild last year. Fairchild was actually playing really well for a stretch and got optioned. Same thing because he had options. Now this year he doesn't have options, and maybe Stuart Fairchild probably should get sit down maybe at some point if he continues to struggle, but he might be able to keep his roster spot because he now has earned the fact to not have an option. So there's a lot of these like technicality things that go into being a GM and in the front office that you really have to really have a almost its own set of eyes on in order to kind of understand the moves that they're making. All right, well, let's move on to what's next for the Reds. And then I'll also ask you, Clay, I know you love following Reds minor leagues. I'm going to ask you about, you know, some players that you're excited about down there. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay. But the Reds taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Clay, you're a guy that loves following baseball. You follow baseball on a national scale much better than I do, as I have to really just be locked into these Cincinnati Reds on a daily basis. But the Diamondbacks, 15-20, obviously the defending NL champs, had an incredible run to the World Series. They're a team that is beat up just like the Reds. Reading some of the names that are on their IL, Geraldo Peroma, Alec Thomas, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, Paul Sewald, Miguel Castro. So their closer, they're one of their setup guys, two starting pitchers, their starting shortstop, and a guy that was either a starting outfielder or a fourth outfielder, depending on how you looked at it. Quite a bit of injuries for this Diamondbacks team. What kind of stands out to you from them?
Yeah, it's been a weird year for them. You know, last year they overachieved, in my opinion, and a lot of that was because of Corbin Carroll. And he just has not looked the same. He has been downright bad this year. And several people have pointed this out on Twitter. It's not my thought, more as it is just me passing information along, that a lot of people think he's injured. He had a swing last year that tweaked his shoulder. And the stats since that particular swing have just been awful. And I don't know if he's injured or not, but it's not looking like the same Corbin Carroll that we saw in the minor leagues and throughout the majority of his rookie season. Other than that, I mean, the team has some good young pieces. Gabriel Moreno behind the plate's, I think, an awesome catcher who's really going to do well. Tucker Barnhart's there as well. So, you know, we can all rejoice with seeing Tucker again. But Ketel Marte is a name everybody knows. He's playing at an all-star level. And a guy that I like is Blaze Alexander, who can play around the infield some, and he is a rookie this year and really just impressed me throughout the minors and kind of caught my eye. And he's off to a hot start, 861 OPS with three home runs so far through 70 at bats. So that's kind of what they're looking like offensively. There is another player who I love, is Jake McCarthy. I think a lot of Reds fans will like him. He's kind of like a TJ Friedel in some ways. So yeah, he's definitely a fan favorite. And in terms of pitchers, mostly guys that you all would know the names of, you know, Zach Allen, and you may remember Joe Mantiply, who was in the Reds organization for a brief moment. Jordan Montgomery is there as well. Brandon Fott, who's from Bellarmine in Louisville. So some names there. I think they'll, you know, they're just closer to what they actually are this year, even with the injuries. Like, I never thought they were World Series talent on paper. They got lucky. They got there. It shows why it's just important to make it into the playoffs. And now I think that they're kind of a little bit closer to what they should be.
There's a lot of names on this Diamondbacks roster that
Suarez.
We're familiar with. Of course, Eugenio Suarez. You have to probably be a more of a diehard Reds fan, but Matt Bowman pitched really well for the Reds back in 2019. He had an ERA of like 3.66 in 32 innings. And then he didn't pitch again in the big leagues until 2023. Like,
I don't remember that at all. That's just like and usually I remember like every single player that's come through, and I do not remember that in the least bit. I'm looking it up right now to see if it like pulls from my memory.
He's a really small guy, really skinny. But he
was yeah, okay. Number 67. I kind of remember this guy now.
I'm gonna have to go on a deep dive, because he didn't even pitch in the minors. Was this guy have like some massive injury? I don't know what it is, but anyways, back to the Diamondbacks, and I'm very fascinated about the story of Matt Bowman now. But it's wild to see Corbin Carroll has a 250 slugging percentage. That's wild. He's batting now eighth most nights for the Diamondbacks, so that's weird to see. The players you mentioned are definitely players to watch. The one guy that I think is to watch is their DH, Jock Peterson. I feel like this guy has been one of the most underrated players in baseball. This guy has hit every single year. Well, I guess maybe not 2021, but he's a monster hitter against right-handed pitching, kind of the ultimate platoon guy. This is like
the ultimate platoon bat. Exactly.
You want your left-handed batters to be like this level of platoon. He's a guy that I think Reds, especially with Reds running three right-handed pitchers out there in this series, that's the one guy that I think in Great America Ballpark maybe scares me the most, actually, in that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he is. I actually talked to Jack McMullen about this one time. If you would ever see a platoon player make the Hall of Fame, and we brought up Jock Peterson exactly, of like, he's the best platoon player potentially, like offensively, and he has no shot. Like, I just don't think we'll ever see like a straight platoon player be good enough to make the Hall of Fame. But yeah, he's definitely a threat. And, you know, it is a good team. I think that they've underperformed. I think injuries have hurt them. They're in a similar story as the Reds. But I'm not just going to sleepwalk past, you know, the Diamondbacks. I'm not trying to say that, but I don't think that they are as scary as, you know, world's, you know, defending or in the World Series last year. You know, I don't feel that way about them at all.
Yeah, well, the Reds are going to see them six times, obviously, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week at Great American Ballpark. And they're going to turn right around, travel to Arizona next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 13th through the 15th. So we're going to get a pretty good up-close look at the Diamondbacks. These could clearly be two teams that are competing for in a wild card spot at the end of the year. So these games, maybe a little bit of extra importance than some other NL games, just because I think these are two kind of very similar teams. The pitching matchups for this series: Tuesday night, Zach Gallen against Frankie Montas. Wednesday, Jordan Montgomery. I think it's only his third start with the Diamondbacks. He was signed late, and then also he missed his start because of the B gate situation. So, but anyways, Jordan Montgomery against Ashcraft on Wednesday. Thursday, Slade Ciccone up against Hunter Green. Any of these pitching matchups stand out to you, Clay?
I don't think any of them are like appointment TV. You know, other fans are tuning in or anything, but I think you got to get the Hunter Green one. I think that Hunter Green's pitching so much better than what some people may think, just based on, you know, what they've thought of him throughout their own fandom. And I think just keep riding the momentum there. If he can put together another good outing, help spark this team in some way, and really like put a stamp on, I'm trying to be the ace of this squad. You know, they didn't go with him on opening day, and I want him to kind of have this, I'm the real ace of the squad going forward mentality, and string together a few good starts in a row.
Yeah, I think if you could take one of the first two games, I think you feel pretty good about your chances in the series finale. And as we ran through the injuries earlier, I'm now looking at the note here on Fangraphs. Shout out to you, Fangraphs, and your roster resource page. Paul Sewald and Alec Thomas are both going to be activated tomorrow, it says. So I guess they're getting a little more healthy. One more question about this series before we get into some quick Reds minor league talk. I'm assuming that TJ Friedl is going to be activated on Tuesday. Just seems the way the Reds used him the 4 days down in St. Paul, playing him all 4 days, three of those days in center field, not pulling him early outside of the first game. I think they pulled him like the eighth inning. Seems like that is a quick ramp up to get back to the big leagues. So I guess first to you, are you with me? Do you think he's going to get activated on Tuesday? And what kind of impact do you think that he can have returning to this lineup?
I think he will, and the impact's going to be huge. They need people to put the ball in play. And when I say the ball in play, I don't mean CES reaching for one outside the zone and tapping it to second base. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about, you know, advancing runners. And TJ Friedl showed last year, at the very minimum, he's going to make good contact. Like, he's going to make enough contact that even if he bats 260, those outs can be more productive outs, move the runner over outs, ground out with an RBI, you know, whatever it may be, instead of striking out and it not essentially doing anything. So I'm really excited about him. And I think that it'll take Will Benson out of the lineup, which I know that you and I are Benson fans, but it's at times looks like it clicks, right? And you see like the double the other day, or the two doubles he had, whatever that was, like the home run. And you see, oh no, he's turning a page, and then it's ugly from there, and it's whiff and whiff. So I think addition by subtraction as well, at least for now. I don't want to sound like I'm cutting Will Benson out of future plans or anything, but at least for now, it's a pretty big upgrade.
All right, Clay, before I get you out of here, Reds minor leagues, maybe give me two players that have stood out to you so far this season.
Yeah, two players. I'll go one is Jay Allen. I know that there's been some buzz up around him. Finally, he's been able to have a little bit of health this season. I think he was actually injured for a short amount of time, but he is just hitting so much better than he has in the past so far. 362, 479, 638, five home runs, which is more than he's ever had at a stop. So off to a really good start this year, and a player who, you know, has high potential. Injuries have just slowed him down. So we'll see what a really good year of Jay Allen could look like, but that would be huge, because right now I'm not extremely high on a lot of the double and triple A batters. I mean, there's some in there I like, but you know, a little bit less on them. Cam Collier is the other one that we can talk about. I just love his swing, man. It's so freaking beautiful from the left side. And 314, 360, 588 so far with seven home runs. Keep in mind, this kid's only 19 years old. And I think that he is one of the few players, like, I would not trade. I would trade. Okay, if you just went to like the top 30 out of that top 10, I would trade pretty much everybody besides Lauder and Collier, and I want to hold on to Stewart. Other than that, oh, Dunno. Okay, now I'm getting too many, but there's few that I would trade, but Cam Collier is not going anywhere for me. I'd rather trade Noelvi Marte before him.
All right, Clay, well, appreciate your time as always. Tell everyone where they can find all your work.
Yeah, it's at justbaseball.com. I'm also doing all of the merchandise there now, so I'm designing all the merchandise. So if there's anything that you all want, let me know. But also go buy something there, and go buy something from the Chatterbox. And next thing you know, you got two outfits to rock all summer. What else do you need?
Chatterbox and Just Baseball, your entire wardrobe. Well, links to all to where you can find Clay and Just Baseball in the episode notes below. Thanks again, Clay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I did a deep dive on Matt Bowman after I got down with Clay Snowden. Matt Bowman, he was a guy with a 3.66 ERA in 32 innings with the Reds back in 2019. He had a really solid season that year. He was actually still in the Reds organization in 2020, but he got hurt prior to the COVID-shortened season, never pitched, and ended up needing Tommy John surgery at the end of 2022. And then Bowman did not pitch at all in 2021 or 2022. He actually ended up going from September 28th, 2019, his last appearance with the Reds, until March 31st, 2023, when he pitched for the Yankees AAA team in Scranton. So quite a while, September 2019 to March 2023, between appearances in pro baseball. Bowman did get called up last September and got in three games with the Yankees. This year, he signed with the Twins. He started in AAA. He got called up and pitched in five games with the Twins. Actually had a 2.35 ERA, but he got DFA'd in a roster crunch and ended up getting traded to the Diamondbacks. So there is your story on Matt Bowman making his triumphant return to Great American Ballpark. But seriously, though, good for Matt. Sounds like he's had quite the incredible baseball journey over the last couple years. All right, so the Reds game on Tuesday night, 6:40 p.m. Frankie Montas taking the ball for the Reds up against Zach Gallen. Frankie Montas, 2-2, 4.19 ERA. Montas' last start was on April 21st. He, of course, left after taking a comebacker on the elbow. The Reds did not feel like Montas needed a rehab start, so he will jump right back into the Reds' rotation. Montas has only faced the Diamondbacks twice in his career. Didn't go too well. He's got a career 11.74 ERA. Thankfully, those two starts were all the way back in 2018 and 2020. The active Diamondbacks are 7-for-23 against Montas, but they do not have a single extra base hit. The notables, Gurriel is 2-for-6. Ketel Marte is 0-for-3. Jock Peterson, 0-for-2. Our old friend Eugenio Suarez, 1-for-4. And Tucker Barnhart probably won't be in the lineup, but he is 3-for-4 against Montas. All right, for the Diamondbacks, it'll be Zach Gallen. He comes in with a 3.38 ERA, 3-2 on the season. Gallen has gave up four home runs over his last two starts, both of those on the road at the Mariners and at the Giants. The Reds haven't faced Gallen since 2022. He's got a career 3.93 ERA in three starts. His only start at Great American Ballpark was back in 2021. Gave up three runs in 5 2/3 innings pitched. Not a whole lot of active Reds have faced Gallen. Indy has 1-for-5 with a double and a walk. Jamer Candelario is 0-for-3. Luke Maley is 2-for-3 with a double. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all of your support. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. Of course, make sure you're subscribed as well. And more importantly, tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds. You know a Reds fan. Tell them to check out our podcast. If you're looking for something else to watch or listen to, Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. I heard a rumor that Elliot Rearing will be hosting on Tuesday, so be sure to check that out as they talk Cincinnati sports talk and more. And then, of course, Kinner and Kev, that is 3 to 5 p.m. on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. So be sure to check that out. That is our 1410 Wing AM simulcast. I was actually on with Justin and Kev Nash on Monday, so always enjoy going on with those guys, and they do a great job. Of course, all that on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. You can find links to all of that stuff in the episode notes below. All right, well, hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll see you on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube around 9 o'clock or so on Tuesday night. Of course, if you missed that, see you in your podcast feed bright and early on Wednesday morning. Have a great day. Go Reds.